Dr. Bolat's real fall.
After 2 o'clock, there was no water in this factory, no light. Everything was disorganized. Later on, so the German been very confused. 10 o'clock in the morning, I think. From 10 o'clock in the morning to 2 o'clock in the daytime again. Second bombing was in the daytime, and third bombing at night time. 3 times bombing, yes. The nearest bomb fell about 50 yards from us. No one was killed in our factory. No one was killed in British factory. The Gestapo man, where I am working as a doctor, he's speaking to the Gestapo man. Gestapo man said, "Doctor, how the British, they are terrible. You know, the prisoner of war campaign, they've been laughing and singing all the time during the bombing."
Yeah. Could you tell that it was a heavy raid?
Very heavy raid. We know that. Later on, the factory came, and this owner, this manager came. And he asked me to dress him. He had car wounds. His wife was killed and children had been killed during bombing. And he said that everything was killed very badly. In the best, he told me. Further on, you know, that was on the second day, I think. Everything was burning. Nobody was working, you know, in this concentration camp, nobody worked. We have no food. For water, we went to river. They allowed to go to the river, few prisoners to bring water from the river. The Gestapo man said to that everything burning and so on. I said, "I don't believe that." He said, "Doctor, I allow you to go to the roof of the factory. Go to the roof and look how there is in the burning." I said, "Good idea. Can I go?" "Yes, go. I allow you to go." No, and I went to the roof. The roof, I looked at it, burning everywhere, burning. Fire going everywhere. And when I look, I said, "I think never look at the room was burning, you know." I was thinking that. The narrow was looking when the room was burning like everything in Dresden. And this moment, small shrapnel not far from me, about 5 yards from me. I said, "My goodness, time bomb." I said, "My goodness, I see it, but I go straight way down." Next day they said, "We cannot do nothing with this camp. We must take you to our father camp. Father camp is Klosenburg in Bavaria. But camp commandant said 7 kilometers walk because no rain will be outside Dresden. This who can walk, our patient must walk. This one who was left there, they kill, they shoot. This factory.
How many?
Not many, about 3 or 4. 3 or 4. One Russian was teacher. And he liked to say, I said to him, "No, you cannot, you can't walk. Walk because I kill you. I cannot. I help you." And this French doctor, he is a very good man as well. He helped. And we helped him to walk with us. But later he refused to walk. And they killed him on the way. They killed about 3 or 4 prisoners who are unable to walk. In the railway station, they took us to railway track, again 50 in every track, except workers like myself, you know, the French doctor, Capo, Schreiber, you know, Clark, and so on. There were 25 of us, 25 in this last railway track. Or some bombing the array and stop, you know, with the railway track stop. It's a train stop. Later on, after some time, they call two prisoners, two Gestapo, these couples from our room, camp commandant, call us, call them. We heard shot, that somebody shooting. And one German homosexual was sitting with us, he was a good man, he's homosexual, and he said, I am sure that they are killing, somebody killing. And after 1 hour, these two prisoners came back, and they have blood on the trousers. And the German homosexual jumped to them, what he did in the killing prisoner. What they done, the camp commandant ordered them to kill in one railway track, 25 prisoners escape. So camp commandant ordered to kill the 25, the other who did not escape, because they did not prevent the other to escape. They have been killed.
So one man escaped?
25 escaped.
But 25 were left?
20 left, 25 left, and 25 have been killed by these two people. Order for camp commandant. When we came to our destination, camp Flossenberg near the station was about 6-8 miles. And so, prisoners searching, you know, guarding us, Ukrainian guard, Ukrainian Gestapo, and our camp commandant, and he was German. So, I said to French doctor, you know, we've been going to the last. If somebody cannot go, we can help them. I said, I cannot, because camp commandant is back. I cannot look to his eyes. You know, the French said, I cannot. He said, I cannot. I go first. You will be the last, I will be going first. Okay. So I was going the last. And last recording. And who came to me? Camp commandant. The SS captain. Very friendly to me. He ordered to kill the prisoner. Very friendly to me, asking about my family, about that. And he said that he had one son who was in Western Front. And he will be not more looking after the prisoner, he'll go into the front. He likes to fight, the Western Front. Later on, I said to him, that all guards gone. We are back here on our own. No, you can stay. Nothing happens to you. You can stay with me. And I walked with him all the distance. Later, I joined the others. When we came to a camp, they put us in front of an office. All standing there, who came prisoner, Schreiber. Chief clerk of the camp, prisoner, but the only prisoner who came. He said to me, who is here, Polish officer? I said, no, I know, no one, only me. I said, no good for me. Straight away asking a Polish officer, no good for me. I said, quiet. I didn't say nothing. And they asked again, who say, don't be silly, who is the Polish officer? Who is the Polish doctor? I didn't go, I didn't say. Later, you know, our prisoner said, you must say that you are a doctor. And I said, I am the doctor, Polish doctor. He said, you liar, you came to the camp and lying here. You are officer, you know, and you are lying that you are not officer. I said, I've never been in the army. liar. You know, you cannot start your work in the camp starting with lies. I said, no good for me. And that's finished, and he's gone. We came to the ward there, and in every barrack, against Schreiber's, and the clerk. The clerk came to me, you know, he said, don't be afraid. This is Polish clerk, and no Polish doctors here, only French, Czechs, working here. And, you know, we cannot help Polish people, because we have no Polish doctors. You must be employed here as a doctor. So cloud do everything, everything to employ you here. Do you know something about TB? Because they're afraid of TB. I said, as a matter of fact, I've been working on TB. So you go to Gestapo doctor for interview and say that you've been working with TB. They employ you. The next day, they call me for an interview. The camp doctor, German, civilian German, call me for interview. I came to here, diploma, which year, where I work, and so on. And I know something about TB. Yes, I said, been working there. Then. Oh, he said, there, I've been in this hospital in Poland. He said, I know this hospital. He said, why? I employ you as a doctor here. And he employed me as a doctor in the hospital. In Flossenbürg, that's a Flossenbürg, that's February in Flossenbürg.
When you were working for the Germans as a doctor, did you have any drugs?
No. Very, very little, maybe. Very, very little. Yes, in Dresden, yes, we have a little. Sulfanamide. Sometimes come sulfanamide, this is like before antibiotic came sulfanamide. Somebody Gestapo, the doctor came three times, and he brought us the sulfanamide. Yes. That was in Flossenbürg. How was the gross rosin? I don't know, because I've been only 1 week working there, so I don't know. Nothing. But here, in this camp, I've been employed, so straight away, give me room, I have even shower, this happens, shower, and so on. So, and a room, a small room with another Russian doctor. On the bench. So it's very pleased, clean, I could change the sheets and so on, very nice and clothing. But I can do nothing, because you see, when we came to this TB ward, Hudrich, the German came, and give a injection tuberculin. But when someone tuberculin, this is prevention for prevention for TB. But you give TB tuberculin when somebody ill already, they are dying. So he was doing that, and the people dying. But that was only 1 week. After 1 week, typhus came there. Typhus. Epidemic of typhus. The German doctor, this one, tell me, you've been in charge of typhus. Me, if one Russian doctor, one Lithuanian doctor, and two Czech doctors. You'll be in charge of typhus. Big one, 250 people I have there in this world. But again, when somebody have no temperature, he came and sent off from the hospital to the to work. So what I was doing, this my other doctors, I said, when they measure temperature only, nothing else we can do, only measure temperature, we have no medicine, nothing. So what I said, I told them, I will be putting the temperature on the cards. So when they made it, somebody has no temperature, I put that he has temperature. And I kept for 2-3 days, everyone, temperature, And this, from this reason, the people who are recovering from typhus started to live. Not everybody died. And famous to the camp that I am the one, thanks to me. But they didn't know why. So then the Germans came to me as well. They've been working in Gestapo hospital, and Polish people. And they said, help our people who are ill. I said, give me the drug. And I said, what I needed. They've been stealing from Gestapo hospital and bringing to me. and I've been treating them. So I have drugs through this way. Not for everyone, but for most of them. And you know, mortality dropped rapidly. So as I was so popular then in the hospital, in the prisoner, when I going out, you know, on Saturday for walk a little to the camp, everybody gives me way. You know, because a lot of people go, everybody right, with respect. And there's very, very big satisfaction that I have now. And when American later they liberated, yes, before that, you know, came another German doctor. German doctor, military doctor, SS, Captain SS. Adams, his name like this Irishman. The doctor, Captain Adams came, and he came one day, and he started to speak to me. When doing, seeing the patient, this Dr. Smith, the civilian doctor in German, he came and called me, asked me something. And the civilian doctor said that I am in charge here, not you, and you cannot speak with prisoner when I need this prisoner. And he said, I am in charge, not you, the captain. And he went out. And later on, in about 1 hour, came back, and he said to me, Dr. Smith will be not coming anymore here. To do. You do your work, I am responsible. I know that you know your work, and I leave to you. Do you have milk for the prisoner? Milk? I haven't. How many milk do you want? I said, how much I can have? 50 liters you can have. Not too much, 25. White bread? No, I sent you white bread. He done that. That was 4 weeks before Americans came. He done for that. Okay, this Dr. Adams. And you know, I was helping a lot of people then. Further on, when General Patton came very near us, and so they evacuated our camp. And they later evacuate all the people, hospital as well. Hospital evacuator, they give £2 of grain for the travel to Mauthausen, to concentration camp in Mauthausen, Austria, by foot. So, but Captain Adam said, this is nonsense. I like that you stay in the hospital, to say that you don't move. I said to him, when you move hospital, typhus spread for all Germany. Must be kept here. I said, it's enough. Or must be kept, but I can't do nothing without Bunker, without Hitler. You know that he phoned Hitler about that.
He phoned him?
We phoned him that he liked to keep this hospital, not to evacuate, keep in Flossenburg.
What reply did he get?
He came yes, we can stay. We can say, and Captain Adams said, I must go with the camp, you know. I wish you all the best. Bürgermeister will be looking after you, food supply for you. He'll be looking after you. I wish you that you see your family soon. And I said, I wish you for you the same. Shake hands, and I last him here. And you know, for 10 days we have no one. No one. Not American, not German. General Patton came, and you know, they don't allow him to go to take Prague and Berlin. Do you remember that? And he stopped there. But after 10 days or fortnight, they came to camp and to bury us, and they make me camp commandant.
What impression did the Americans make on you at first?
I will tell you, the patrol came first, patrol to that. Big impression, because we are safe, that we survive. Big impression. And they came, first patrol came, and one came, Germans here, that we knew. Because I am Rothschild, this family, famous Rothschild. I am American Rothschild, your sergeant. I'm American, Rothschild said, he's my family here, Rothschild. I said, I have few Jews, I have here about 10 Jews, but no, not Rothschild. And I have, you know, I liked it very much. That was first impression, very good first impression. And they, later on, they supply everything for us, develop food and so on, you know. And they moved to another camp for the time being. And later on, I asked, after a few, short time, I said that I am a doctor, you know, I am an officer. I like to join ex-prisoner of war camp somewhere, where's the nearest one? And they agree, and I went to Bamberg first. Bamberg was a camp later, Langwasser, big camp near Nürnberg, outskirts of Nürnberg.
These were displaced persons camps?
No, prisoner of war. Not displaced, prisoner of war camp. I've been in the dispersed camp only 3 days, but I don't like, I like to go to the prisoner of war camp. Okay. And I went to Langwasser, big Polish camp, about 5,000. And to be attached now to 116 field ambulance, American Army. 116 field ambulance. And they ask me to organize hospital for soldiers.
This is in Bavaria?
In Bavaria, in Nürnberg.
Amongst Polish POWs?
Yes. And I organize the hospital in Meggendorf, old Luftwaffe, very good hospital, Luftwaffe. Used to be Luftwaffe, and the American gave me. So I've been there to June 1946. In the meantime, I organized my wife from Poland. I'm not the messenger going to Poland. I organized the Green Frontier. She came to join me in January 1946. To Green Frontier, to Czechoslovakia. She came again. To, you know, through frost and, you know, snow and so on. She managed to come to me. And in, later on, I have message from Dr. Kessler, who was in Italy. He knew that I am in Germany. If any time you come to your place in Second Police Corps in Italy, but I must first look after these people there. So when everything was organized and, you know, finished, I took my wife and went to Italy and enlisted straight away. They enlisted me to Second Police Corps. So I was working in 7th General Hospital.
So how did you come to the UK?
I was in 7th Police Corps, the Polish Army in Italy. Polish Army was evacuated. Polish Army was occupying Italy then after the war. So after 6 months, my stay there, our hospital was coming to the United Kingdom, to Leinster. And I came with them to Leinster. And here, with the Polish Army organizing again the hospital. Dr. Kessling was then working in the War Ministry in London, the Polish branch. So, I sent, he organized, he gave me post, through him I have post, to British military hospital in Lincoln, Polish, was Polish wing in military hospital Lincoln, and I was in charge. I have another officer, I was captain, another lieutenant I have, and have then my Polish nurses, and so on, in hospital in Lincoln. Very pleasant time. Very nice commanding officer. Very pleasant British doctors and military doctors, you know, very nice time.
But you were just dealing with Polish patients?
Polish people. Polish work. But responsible to British commanding officer. One more is Polish.
So how did you transfer from work in a Polish hospital in Lincoln to becoming a GP in Wales?
When later on the British and Polish soldiers had been demobbed, the Lincoln military hospital was finished. And I was transferred as medical officer to 20th officer holding unit in Brandenburg near Leicester. Near Leicester. And I have medical officer, chief medical officer there. Until that to finish. But I have contract with the army to 1949 October. But in March I finished the camp of this band, this one, 20 officers of the green, because everyone's nearly demobbed. So I asked for 6 months leave to prepare for civilian life. So I was called to a military hospital near the House of Commons. I forget the military hospital was there. The British military hospital. They examined me and said, all right, you're not very strong, 6 months you have lived to prepare for civilian life. So I worked in the civilian hospital in Lincoln, without money. I was going to see what is going on. And to look for the job. Real private GP. And has been advertised practice here and in Sheffield. I've been shortlisted in Sheffield and here. I choose very well, so I came here. The doctor liked me here and to be as assistant.
This is in Ystrad Ginlais?
No, first in Bandon. This is about 5 miles from here. I was working for that, and he promised me that after a year he'd give me partnership. So I organized them up, I went straightway to him. After 1 year, he was postponing partnership. And the patient saying to me that he's jealous of you. So better you should leave, he not give you partnership. So I apply for practice, and they put me in a short list in Fermi, near Cardiff. In the meantime, lady doctor was in practice here, Dr. Barry. And she came to me to call, I was living in Coldren, and she came that she liked that I worked with her, I give him partnership. I said to her, I don't believe in assistance partnership. Yes, I give you partnership. Partnership for me only 50-50. I will not go the other way. Because look, I'm on short list for practice there. But she needs badly because the other doctors taking patients from her and so on, and she gave me 50% partnership here in the Ystrad Ginlais. So I came here. So I wrote to Cardiff that I have parties already. But they called me now, you must come for interviews to Cardiff. So I went to Cardiff for interview. Chairman of the interviewing body, I think one general was there. So asked me my story, army story. I told him vaguely, only that and that. And he said, why you don't like go to Ferndale? He was withdrawing your application. I said that I have